All right, we have a good word coming tonight from our praise and worship leader, Patty, and she is going to speak on I must decrease so that he can increase. So let's give Patty a warm welcome.
Praise the Lord. And I just want to start off, first of all, with prayer tonight. So can we bow our heads? Father, thank you for this opportunity to be in your house with other people who love you and some who may not, Lord. I think everyone here is born again, but I know we have people watching on Facebook. So, Lord, let your word go forth and do what it was created to do and save lives and souls and raise up spirits to honor you and to enjoy life. And Lord, I just thank you for all you've already done. And I praise you and ask you to help me decrease so that tonight it'll be all about you and I will follow and flow with the Spirit. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. And I bind any spirit that's not of you that would try to coerce me into going in the wrong direction or to hinder the people from hearing. And I loose the ears and hearts and minds for us to reverence you, Father, in Jesus' name. And we all said amen.
Amen.
Okay. I have a lot of scriptures, but I'm going to try my best to get some kind of clarity for y'all. Because I bet I changed these scriptures for the last 2 hours I worked on this lesson today. I'd already had the scriptures up. And I try to get them in an order so that they would flow and make sense. And then I would take a sheet out and I'd say, this I don't want. And I just kept changing them over and over. So God help. That's all I know what to say at this point. All right, we're going to start off. And we are talking about me and you decreasing so that God is glorified, so that he is able to increase, so people will see him more and recognize what he's doing in the earth. So our first scripture is James 2 and 26 from the Amplified. And just bear with me now. Some things may seem a little out of the order, but I'm trying to put them together. For as the human body apart from the spirit is lifeless, so faith apart from its works of obedience is also dead. In the voice, it says, removing action from faith is like removing breath from a body. All you have left is a corpse. As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. Now, we've heard that over and over, and it's actually faith without deeds. This is a New International Version. In the Message, it says, same scripture, James 2:26, and I'm not going to read the whole thing. Part of it was talking about Rahab, who helped the spies escape the enemy. But it says, the very moment you separate body and spirit, you end up with a corpse. So if you separate faith and works, you get the same thing, a corpse. So we know that faith without works is dead. So what God is saying to us, he's given us all a measure of faith. But for that faith to be active, we need to put something along with it. Do something. Do something. Okay. In 1 Samuel 15:22, it's in the Amplified, it said, Samuel said, has the Lord a great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the voice of the Lord? And then he says, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. And that word hearken means hear. Okay, 1 Corinthians 8:3 in the Amplified. But if one loves God truly with affectionate reference and prompt obedience and grateful recognition of his blessings, he is known by God and recognized as worthy of his intimacy and love, and he is owned by him. Now, we heard Deborah talking earlier, and everybody here actually says these things anyway, but we know that God gives us the breath in our body. We know he wakes us up in the morning. He puts the gas in our car. Don't think that your job put the gas in your car. Don't think that your intelligence and your good looks causes you to be able to have the job. The job come from the source, and your source is always Father God. In 1 Corinthians 8 and 3, the same scripture from the Voice, it says, but if someone loves God, it is certain that God has already known that one. He knows you. He knows you. Same scripture in the New International Version. But whoever loves God is known by God. So God knows us. He's got a plan for us. And it may look like I'm not going somewhere, but I am. So 2 Peter 3:14 in the Amplified. So beloved, you who are loved by God, known by God, you are expecting these things. Be eager to be found by Him at His coming. What are you expecting? He's coming again. Okay. Without spot or blemish and at peace, in serene confidence, free from fears. I know we all deal with the spirit of fear sometimes, but I bind it right now in the name of Jesus. If it's on you tonight, I take authority over it and I say it's not going to, this word is going to destroy that fear in Jesus' name. And it frees you from agitating passions and moral conflicts. The Voice, same scripture. So my friends, while we wait, what are we waiting for? The day of the Lord. Work hard to live in peace without flaw or blemish. Now look, if you look at me, you'll see flaws, you'll see blemishes, you'll know that I make mistakes. Because I'm human and I do mess up. We're all like that. But God says, make your point in trying to do your best not to do those things. In other words, try not to let the flesh get the best of you. Has anybody ever done that? Okay, I saw one person that's telling, two people telling the truth. I'm just going to do what Pastor says. You that had your hand raised up, it's the truth. We make mistakes. You who didn't, you better get repent for lying. Okay, in the New International Version, same scripture. So, dear friends, since you're looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with Him. So right there it says every effort. So it's not an easy thing. God never said that this life would be easy. He said for us to come to Him, repent of our sins, we get born again, and we think everything's going to be hunky-dory. Well, that's not true. But God will help us. God will help us. I'm smiling at somebody because she has taught me some things. When you said that you had kept having these sinus infections, what she taught me, I already knew. So I'm going to tell you this, so you start saying this. I don't have these sinus infections anymore. I break the power of them because it's not my package. Okay. So anyway, we have to put forth an effort, okay, because we're not perfect. And God knew it when He created us. Hebrews 12:1-2 in the Amplified. Therefore, since we are so surrounded by a cloud of witnesses who have borne testimony of the truth, let us strip off and throw aside the unnecessary weights and sins that cause us to cling to us and entangle us. Let us run with patient endurance, steady, active persistence, the appointed course of the race that is set before us. How many have heard those scriptures before on that line? Run the race with patience. Let me tell you something. If you're not aware, the race is on right now. If you're living and breathing, you're in a race. I don't know if you're walking. I don't know if you're crawling. I don't know if you're standing up. I don't know if you're standing upright, but I can tell you I have been flat on my face before, and I have crawled literally to run the race. But if we stick with it, we'll make it. So if you're crawling right now, or maybe you even feel like you're at a standstill. Don't give up. Don't stop. Just reach out one finger and do the best to pull yourself across. Okay? So we're looking away from all that will distract us. To who? To Jesus. That's what this lesson's about. Us getting our focus on Him and not so much ourselves. That's where our big problem comes in. It's not really so much Satan. I mean, he'll throw some things out there at us, but actually, he throws the things out there, and then we, in our minds, start letting it creates a turmoil in us, and then we decide, well, am I going to do this, or am I going to do that? And we just get to the place where our mind is just doing this, and that's when we mess up. But if we'll keep our focus, we recognize that if it's not a good thing, surely it didn't come from God. And so it's from the enemy, and then we need to recognize, hey, I need to get my focus back on Jesus. Okay? So He's the author and finisher of our faith, bringing us to maturity and perfection. He, for the joy of obtaining the prize that was set before Him, endured the cross, despising and ignoring the shame. He's now seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Okay, listen to this. He, for the joy of obtaining the prize that was set before Him, endured the cross, despising and ignoring the shame. We all know this. I know everybody in here knows this. That they spit on Him. They beat Him. They made fun of Him. They took His clothes off and just made a fool out, tried to make a fool out of Him. They made fools out of themselves. But at the time, they did not know that. But it said He endured it for the prize that was set before Him. Do you know what the prize was? It is you. You're the prize. You're the prize. Think about that for a minute. He did it for the whole world, that whoever would come to Him. But He looks at you as a gem. Gem, but like a precious gem, a pearl if you have it, or a ruby or a sapphire, whatever you think is beautiful, He already thought it about you, and you're His prize. So when He comes back as the bridegroom, He being the bridegroom, you're the bride, male or female, you're the bride, you're part of it. The born-again church is the bride of Christ. And there will be He will return, and He will take us. But we need to be careful. Remember the story, I'm not going to read these scriptures, I didn't even bring them. You remember the five wise virgins and the five foolish virgins. Okay, the story was that they knew there was going to be a wedding, and they were supposed to be prepared. And they had lamps. All 10 of them had lamps. But only 5 of them made sure they had enough oil in their lamps. Because the other ones were foolish because they kept thinking, well, when we figure out He's coming, we'll go get some oil then. Instead of taking care of the needed things at that time, doing what they should do, they just put it off. And so then when they found out He was on His way or practically there, they looked down at their lamps and they thought, well, we still didn't get our oil. And they started asking the other virgins that were wise for the oil, okay? And they wouldn't give it to them because they were still wise. They knew better. They couldn't. I mean, you'd think, well, if I ask somebody for something, if they're kind and they're good, wouldn't they help me? No. If they're kind and good and they got some sense, they're not going to give their oil away. Do you know what your oil is? What are you doing right now? You're sitting in God's presence. If I wasn't standing here or even in this place and you were here, you're in God's presence. I don't have to be here. It's not me, it's Him. Okay? So I've got to decrease. I've got to tell you, I'm really nothing compared to Him. I'm a nobody, just like the song says. The song says, before I spoke a word, you were singing over me. That's one of my favorite scriptures in the world. And He took care of it all because He loved me. But He did the same for you. Let me not get too far off track here. Okay, so you're the prize that was set before him. And that's why he endured, because if he didn't go through with it, there wouldn't have been the perfect sacrifice. And once there's the perfect sacrifice, that's why we can call on Jesus and all our sins are washed away. If we repent. Better throw that in there. And because of that obedience, God lifted him high and honored him far beyond anything or anyone, ever so that all created beings in heaven and on earth, even those long ago and dead and buried, will bow and worship before this Jesus, who we can call out and praise that he is the master of all, to the glorious honor of God the Father. I'm not God. You're not God. There's no one in this place that can bear that name. If you act like that, you're in trouble. So, and there are, remember Jesus said to beware, there were going to be some that come and try to say that they were the Messiah. And you know, in the past we've had some nuts that have caused people to gather together and even drop. They died because of it. So don't listen to anyone like that. When Jesus comes, the whole sky is going to light up. And there will be angels singing. You'll know it's him. Won't be a, I wonder if that's him. No, you'll know. Now, somebody that has to question that, they're probably not born again anyway. So this is your oil, the Word of God. And doing, obeying him. Okay, I got to get somewhere here, so I don't want to. Okay, you're in the race at this time. I'm not going to go through that. Okay. Psalms 112 in the Message. Hallelujah. Blessed man, blessed woman who fear God, who cherish and relish his commandments. Their children are robust in the earth, and the homes of the upright, how blessed they are. Their houses brim with wealth. Now, don't get caught up in that. If you're struggling, just ask God for help and do what we've been learning about paying our tithes and all that. But that's who you are when you may not realize you're blessed. You ever heard about how people that go over to these foreign countries where they don't have anything hardly, and they're just thankful if they can get some fresh water, and they may be wearing rags, but they are happy because they have what's important, okay? That's how we should be. Clothes, they're good. You got to have some. I don't want you to come in here if you don't. But, I mean, clothes are wonderful. You got to have food. You got to have water. And you need a way to go. But some of the stuff that people worry about and work themselves to the bone to get is not important, okay? Praise the Lord. Blessed and happy is the man who fears and reveres and worships the Lord and delights in his commandments. Here's this other part I didn't finish from the Message. The good person is generous and lives lavishly. No shuffling or stumbling around for this one. Being good to other people. Solid and lasting reputation. Unfazed by rumor and gossip. Heart ready, trusting in God, spirit firm, unperturbed, ever blessed, relaxed among enemies. They lavish gifts on the poor. How do we decrease? You do something for somebody else. Generosity that goes on and on and on. An honored life, a beautiful life. Then Jesus, Matthew 23:11-12. Then Jesus addressed the crowds and his disciples. The scribes and the Pharisees speak with the authority of Moses, and he told them, so you must do what they tell you and follow their instructions, but you must not imitate their lives. For they preach, but they do not practice. They pile up breaking burdens and lay them on other men's shoulders. That's why we need to be careful. If we don't, maybe we believe a certain thing, and in our mind it lines up with the scriptures. But sometimes we're not right, and we don't need to put somebody else in that position. Well, if you don't do it like this, you're messing up. You better let God have them and do what?
That's right.
tell him what they need to do, because you can really get off track there. The only superior among you is the one who serves the others. For every man who promotes himself will be humbled, and every man who learns to be humble will find promotion. This is your way of decreasing and allowing Jesus to increase. In Luke 9:23-27, I'm only going to read starting at 24. For whoever would preserve his life and save it will lose it and destroy it. But whoever loses his life for my sake, he will preserve and save it from the penalty of eternal death. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and ruins himself, forfeits and loses himself? Jesus said this, whoever is ashamed of me and my teachings of him, will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes. In the threefold glory, the splendor and majesty of himself and the Father and the holy angels. I tell you truly, some will be standing here who will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God. I'm going to have to skip over these or I'm going to run out of time. Let's see. Still headed to my point. Okay. Jesus told them, self-sacrifice is the way, my way, finding yourself, your true self. The real you, what we've said over and over, the spirit. Okay, that's the real you, y'all. If any one of you, I mean, what good would it do to get everything you want and lose the real you? If any one of you is embarrassed with me and the way I'm leading you, know that the Son of Man will be far more embarrassed with you when he arrives. Having to cut a few of these off for the sake of time. Okay, the Holy Spirit, the bride, the church, the The true Christians say, come. To whoever is listening, come. And let everyone who is thirsty, painfully conscious of his need of those things by which the soul is refreshed, supported, and strengthened. Now see, right now we're not talking about food and clothing. We're talking about the living word, okay? And whoever desires, let him come and take. And this one says, appropriate and drink the water of life without cost. And my little note here, I said, get your priorities straight. And let me read this one. And that was Revelation Amplified 22:17. And this is the voice, the Spirit and the bride. Who is the bride? Okay. And the Spirit says, come. And let everyone who hears these words say, come. Okay. I'm going to say it again. Let everyone who hears these words say, come. So let's say it. Come. Come. All right? And we want them to come and drink freely of the water of life. Some benefits from doing these things. The angel of the Lord encamps around about those who fear and revere and worship him with awe. And each of them he delivers. Not some of them. Each of them. In the voice it says, the messenger of the eternal God, and this is Psalms 34:7, the messenger of the eternal God surrounds everyone who walks with him and is always there to protect and rescue us. When is he there? Always. And God sets up a circle of protection around us while we pray. That's from the message, Psalms 34:7. Okay, here's something to make you think of the Martha syndrome. This is God speaking. Why this frenzy of sacrifices? Don't you think I've had my fill of burnt sacrifices, rams and plump, gray-fed calves? Don't you think I've had my fill of blood from bulls, lambs, and goats? When you come before me, whoever gave you the idea of acting like this, running here and there and doing this and that, all this sheer commotion in place, in the place provided for worship. That made me think of Martha. She was so busy doing things that wasn't as important. And Jesus was sitting right there in her house. But she was focused on the food and serving everybody. And Mary's sitting at his feet. And that's what we need to do. We're not going to starve to death. He's not going to let us starve. He's not going to let us go hungry. He's not going to let us be naked. He's not going to leave us alone. If he'll take care of the sparrows, he'll take care of you. Amplified Isaiah 1 and 11. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices to me unless they're the offering of the heart? In other words, like we've heard Deborah and Jody and all of them say, if it's not from the heart, just keep it. Okay, and God says, quit. Isaiah 1, 13 through 17, and I'm probably not going to read it all. God says, quit your worship charades. I can't stand your trivial religious games, monthly conferences, weekly Sabbaths, special meetings. I can't stand one more. Meetings for this, meeting for that. I hate them. You've worn me out. I'm sick of your religion, while you go right on sinning. When you put on your next prayer performance, I'll be looking the other way. No matter how long or loud or often you pray, I won't be listening. And do you know why? Because you've been tearing people to pieces. And your hands are bloody. Go home and wash up, clean up your act, sweep your lives clean, so I don't have to look at it any longer. Say no to wrong. Learn to do good. Help others, y'all. Let's be kind. Help the down and out. Stand up for the homeless. Go to bat for the defenseless. And when we're doing that, it's, to me, decreasing, so Jesus increases. Okay? Hold the door for someone. I was thinking about this when I was going over this lesson. Have you ever been in a store and you're in a hurry and you're fixing to go in and somebody's coming in? Maybe they're not right there at you, but you know they probably need you to hold the door because maybe they look like they're having a hard time. Maybe they're crippled or something, or on a cane and just need a little help. But you are so in a hurry, you cannot take one extra minute to hold the door. That's you increasing. And you think you're so important that you can't do that for somebody else. This is where the rubber meets the road. We need to stop thinking we're better than anyone. We need to quit acting like we're God, because we're not. And we need to start putting everybody, not one, not just a few, everybody should be first place to us. We should be on the low, and they should be lifted up. And it's not that you lift them up like you worship them. It's like you lift them up because you're showing who Jesus is. Okay? They were going through the rituals but leaving out God. And he was supposed to be the reason that they put the time into it in the first place. Matthew 23:11 through 12. But the greatest among you will be your servant. Whoever exalts himself shall be humbled. And whoever humbles himself shall be raised to honor. So we don't have to worry that, oh, we don't look too good or I'm not good enough. No, you just be kind. You just look out for the other person, no matter who they are. Maybe it's your enemy. He said, bless your enemies. Pray for those that curse you and use you. So, I mean, I bet we could really make some progress of dying to ourselves and raising him up if we would put that into practice. Good. I speak to myself. It's not easy. He said it wouldn't be, but he told us what to do, and that's what he's telling us now. If you're struggling with something, go out of your way to help somebody. Step outside of yourself. When I say step outside of yourself, I mean quit thinking about you and be praying. And if God puts somebody on your heart, see if you can figure out what God wants you to do. Maybe he wants you to hand them a $5 bill. That would buy them 1 gallon of gas. I'm making a joke now, but but it's a joke, but it's the truth. Okay? But maybe they just need a phone call to let them know that you're thinking about them. Somebody besides Chrissy probably needs to call Jeff tonight, okay? And if he's able to answer the phone, or send him a little text if you don't want to disturb him, you know, something like that. It's easy to be kind, but we make it hard because, you know why? We don't want to. We don't want to do it. Is that harsh or is it the truth? Okay. He who is the greatest among you, amplified, shall be, you shall be their servant. Okay, we're to be the servant, okay? Sorry, Ish. Whoever exalts himself with haughtiness and empty pride shall be humbled and brought low. Whoever humbles himself and has a modest opinion of himself and behaves in that manner so others can see it, he'll be raised to honor. But when you go around and somebody says, well, can you do this for me? Maybe Ish asked you to do something, and he's busy, and you're thinking, well, I don't do those things, and I don't have time. That's not being very humble, and it's not being kind at all. We should go out of our way to help when we see a need. Okay, got to hurry. Okay, John 1:19-34. The Jews come up and sent a group of priests and officials to ask John, we're talking about John the Baptist now, who he was. And he was completely honest. He didn't evade the question. He didn't try to sidetrack. He told the plain truth. I am not the Messiah. And they pressed him. Who then, Elijah? I'm not. They said, a prophet? He said, no. Exasperated, they said, who? We need an answer for those who sent us. Tell us something about yourself. He said, I'm thunder in the desert. I make the road straight for God. I'm doing what the prophet Isaiah preached. And those who sent to question him, now they had a question of their own. If you're neither Messiah nor Elijah or prophet, why do you baptize? And he said, I only baptize using water. And a person you don't recognize has taken his stand in your midst. He comes after me. But he is not second place to me. I'm not even worthy to hold his coat. Those conversations took place in Bethany, where John was baptizing at the time. The very next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and yelled out, here he is, it's God's Passover lamb. He forgives the sins of the world. This is the man I've been telling you about. He's the one who comes after me, but is really ahead of me. I didn't know nothing about who he was until God revealed it. That's why I came here, baptizing with water. And then John clinched his witness with this. He said, I watched the Spirit like a dove flying down out of the sky, making himself at home in Jesus when he baptized Jesus. I know nothing about him except this. The one who authorized me to baptize with water told me, the one on whom you see the Spirit come down and stay, this one will baptize with the Holy Spirit. That's exactly what I saw happen, and I'm telling you, there's no question about it. This is the Son of God. Okay, I know I'm running out of time here. John 3:30. He must increase while I must decrease. Saint, that was Tree of Life. Let's see. 3:30, the voice. He, the groom, must take center stage. And I, the best man or woman, must step to his side. Okay? We're getting out of the way now so he can do what he was born to do and gave his life for. Okay? So Jesus answered in the message 10:27-30. I told you, but you don't believe. Everything I've done was authorized by my Father. The actions, the words, and I'm cutting it off now. Because you don't believe, you're not my sheep. If you don't believe, you're not God's sheep. My sheep recognize my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Okay, I'm moving over. And he says, I and the Father are one heart and one mind. He goes on in John 10:27 and amplified, the sheep that hear my voice and listen, I know them and they follow me. My sheep respond as they hear my voice. This is from the voice. I know them intimately and they follow me. Okay. This little situation happened. I'm going to just tell it. Okay. So John is over there baptizing all these people. And he's got disciples, and they're helping, okay? But then they realize that Jesus has been raised up, not from the dead, I'm saying, but people are starting to put their focus on Jesus because Jesus is doing miracles and he's baptizing in the water. And so John's disciples run over there and they're so, hey, the one that you were talking about, he's over there. He's baptizing people. And his disciples, they're baptizing people. The problem was they had gotten a little jealous. The focus had come off of them and it went on to Jesus and his disciples. Well, John said, no man can receive anything good unless it is granted to him from heaven. Now I'm skipping over. He who has the bride is the bridegroom. So he's saying Jesus is the bridegroom, and I've got to step aside. I got to skip some more, y'all. Did that story remind you of anything? This is what I thought of. When the disciples of Jesus were, you know, praying for people, they said they saw a man and he was casting out demons, and they ran and, you know, told him to stop, and they ran to Jesus and told him, and Jesus was not happy. He said, don't stop them. If they are with us, for us, they are not against us. So that was another one of those little issues. Jesus had to put them in the place. In fact, the message says Jesus wasn't pleased. Okay? And then, let me finish up with this. Oh, okay, I'm going to skip over. Remember we talked about obeying is better than sacrifice. Okay. I'm trying to find my little page here. Well, I guess I'll paraphrase again. I can't find that page now. It's all here. I did it right, Bonnie. I just didn't. Can't find that page. She told me how to keep my pages together. I did. I tied them together. Okay, so John, when they tell him that these others are baptizing and Jesus, so everybody's running to Jesus, John says, don't worry about it. This is what I was born for. This was my race that I had to run. I came to lift up Jesus. I came to reveal who he was before he showed up on the scene, so that when he came, people would recognize he is the Messiah. I'm not the Messiah. I told you from the beginning, I'm not the Christ. It's Jesus. And so I hear he is doing what he was born to do in the earth. And he's doing what he's supposed to do. And therefore, the bridegroom, I am like the best man. And I'm stepping aside now because the bridegroom is here. And I'm going to let him do what he does. And it gives me great joy because I hear his voice. And I am happy and in joy complete because now I have run my race. And that's how it goes. Now, so Jesus is the Savior. He is God. We are not. And we are to humble ourselves and not act all haughty all the time or any time. And just when you feel yourself going in that place, do your best to just kind of back down. You know, just if you have to walk away from somebody because this argument going on, do it. You say, I got to go right now. Something's not just right, so I'm going to go pray, or, you know, or just walk away and say, I got something I got to do. You don't have to explain everything. You don't have to say, well, you just won't stop arguing, so I'm getting the heck away from you. You don't have to do that. But try your best to be kind and not get yourself in turmoil. And I'm going to leave you with this. I know I went over about 5 minutes, but let me leave you with this. This is the Psalms 91, and it says, oh, it's 1 through 13, I was going to say. Okay, but it's from the Message, and I think Pastor Sharon has probably read it to us before. And if you don't have the Message, it's great. But I'm going to read this to you as we're closing tonight. You who sit down in high God's presence, that's what you're doing, not because me, because of him. You spend the night in Shaddai's shadow. Say this, God, you're my refuge. Let's say that. God, you're my refuge. I trust in you. And I am safe. Okay, then he says, that's right. He rescues you from hidden traps, shields you from deadly hazards. His huge outstretched arms protect you. Under them, you're perfectly safe. His arms fend off all harm. Fear nothing, not wild wolves in the night, not flying arrows in the day, not disease that prowls through the darkness, not disaster that erupts at high noon. Even though others succumb all around and drop like flies right and left, no harm will even graze you. You'll stand untouched and watch it all from a distance. You'll watch the wicked turn into corpses. Yes, because God is your refuge, the high God, your very own home. Evil can't get close to you. Harm can't get through the door. He ordered his angels to guard you wherever you go. If you stumble, they'll catch you. Their job is to keep you from falling. You'll walk unharmed among lions and snakes and kick lions and serpents from the path. And I guess I didn't print the rest out, but the rest of it says he'll be with you forever. He'll honor you and keep you. And that's all I have.